What is going on, everybody? This is another episode of Jaybird Watching, or Jay's Jam, as we have infiltrated. Finally, we have infiltrated Jaybird Watching with Craig Borden.
Things are full circle.
Yes, Craig Borden is with us, and in our special guest seat, as I like to say, the most interesting man in the world, the one, the only, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Weston Grove. Weston,
good to hear from you, man. Yes. Yeah.
Craig, how's it going with you?
Going good, but I'm wondering how he gets that handle and doesn't have a Dos Equis in hand.
let me just tell you, I have some stories about this man.
I'm drinking a thick German lager, but that's not Dos Equis.
He puts to shame anything that Dos Equis man would ever have on him. So let's just
so he's
say.
More like Matthew McConaughey in a car commercial then. Got it.
Just a bit.
If Dos Equis was willing to pay for the sponsorship here, I'd be all over that. Don't get me wrong. My beer will remain nameless, though.
I'll make sure I shout out to our friends at Fansite and be like, hey, we got a perfect plot for you for pitching Dos Equis on a show.
There you go. Well, it was the trade, or is, I guess, trade deadline day. It has come and gone. Okay, let's break it down one by one, and then we'll kind of get a whole feel of what our opinions are of this, because I'm sure there's going to be some strong ones either way. We'll see where it goes. So first and foremost, it seemed – well, let's start with the days leading in and kind of this morning, Craig. Nothing happening. You're seeing guys – Luis Castillo goes to the Mariners, that the Yankees are making moves, and then they're even talking about clearing out guys like Joey Gallo, who's obviously struggled this year, but they're talking about making room, and like eventually they make more room by getting rid of Jordan Montgomery. How did it feel coming into about the noon hour today, let's say, with nothing happening?
Can we shift this thing into gear, for the love of God? I was kind of in that ballpark right now. It's like we were in the burned-out Dodge Neon. We were trying to trade up, but the engine blew out right before we traded it out, you know?
Pretty well.
You couldn't really do anything with it. It's just, okay, we were stuck in neutral, can't get going, and you were watching literally everybody go by you at that point. And I think that was the part that I think that stung the most about the trade deadline. We were just sitting on the sidelines and watched everybody around us get better, including the wildcard teams around us. So not that we didn't do anything horrible. The problem was everybody else did that much better. This was status quo all day, right?
Yeah. Weston, where were you on just sitting and waiting and waiting and waiting?
Yeah, it was a long day. It was a long day full of not a lot of anything. It was, you know, we put, as people that follow this team and invest our emotional and spare time and energy into this, we didn't get a lot of return today, unfortunately. I was like similar to Craig. I share some of those sentiments. Like, it was super disheartening to see how well the rest of like the American League teams that were in the hunt at least did. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the National League just kind of like rocked this trade deadline in a lot of ways. But the only American League teams that seemed to do anything were the Yankees, the Mariners, the Twins did really well. The Astros filled a couple of holes that they needed. And I think the Rays actually made a sneaky great move in picking up David Peralta, which actually probably would have been a great fit on the Jays, like a utility outfielder with high slugging percentage hits from the left side. I don't know. And the Jays just kind of... I mean, I'll let you throw the questions around. I don't want to get into the specifics of how we did and what we did yet, but it was very underwhelming.
So we come into this afternoon and the news breaks. I can't remember who officially broke it, but Anthony Bass and Zach Pop come over to the Blue Jays for Jordan Groshans. We knew that the Blue Jays needed swing and miss, and we knew that they needed relievers in a terrible, terrible way. Are these two enough? Are they enough? I'll throw that to whoever wants to take this first.
to that point, I'm going to go, I guess. And I think it's right now, it's just, oh, God, you know, I will agree that Anthony Bass has gotten better, I think, this year than when we saw him last in 2020. But this is a guy, remember, that was our closer because Romano couldn't stay healthy, and we never had got really Ken Giles in 2020, and there's a bunch of things going on in that bullpen. So getting him back and watching him see the swing and miss that he's been, I was looking at his Baseball Savant page because somebody retweeted it out earlier, and the fact that he's actually, like I said, really good. All of a sudden, I don't know what's going on. He's got like a 1.3 ERA. Looks really good. And then you get popped with that. Nice to bring another Canadian back home to play on this team. He was looking very forward to that during his interview, that when they caught him before he's packing his bags, right?
Wes, where are you on what? Maybe we'll say more specifically Zach Pop, if you know anything terribly substantial about him. Because personally, I don't, so...
Yeah, no. I like real quick on Anthony Bass. Real quick on that whole trade in general. I think, Chris, you like teed it up perfectly. The bullpen was looking for swing and miss, and I don't think we got it even a little bit. Like Anthony Bass, we all remember how or what he was like here in Toronto, and he was decent. He wasn't a bona fide closer on a championship baseball team, though, or even a playoff baseball team. Are you kidding me? Even that first year that he went to Miami, the guy threw like a stink show for a living. It's just like Craig, you said it perfectly. For whatever reason, this year in Miami, and don't get me wrong, he's facing good offenses. Like the NL East is pretty decent this year, right? He's a lot of good hitters, but for whatever reason, it's just clicking for him. Coming back to the AL East and like facing this Yankees team that's just bananas good right now, facing Houston in a playoff series, So that's my thoughts on Bass real quick. But on Pop, like a Canadian kid, love to see that. Obviously rooting for the hometown guy. I think he's from Brampton. Again, not a swing and miss guy. He's got 14 strikeouts and 20 innings pitched. To me, it seems like we upgraded on Richards slightly, right? Bass, is he better than Jimmy Garcia? No, I don't think so. So best case scenario, he's a seventh inning guy, maybe a sixth inning guy. Like that's not a game changer for really what this team kind of came into needing, especially because our bullpen's been as weak as it has. And it's a Romano injury away from completely falling apart. And Bass isn't going to save that. You know, Jimmy Garcia is not going to save that. Yeah. Like,
Demeza isn't what he was last year.
No, Raciel Iglesias might have saved that with a buttload of money attached. Don't get me wrong. There's parts to everything. Like,
there's pluses to that, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. David Robertson might have saved a bit of that, too, right? Like, it's the Jordan Romano show now, and there's no depth behind that, unfortunately.
Yeah. To that point, the Phillies got everybody I wanted.
Everybody.
Robinson, Thor, and honestly, I didn't know Brandon Marsh was available. That would have been a nice little cherry on top for this trade deadline for the Blue Jays, especially if Springer is struggling away health-wise than he is.
How about Lopez out of Baltimore as well?
Twins.
Right?
The Twins, I think, had a very sneaky good deadline. Coming back to the Anthony Bass thing really quick, do you feel, when you were kind of listing off some of the players, correct, do you feel better about Anthony Bass than Adam Simber?
Not so much Simber, but you got to see him live the other day, Chris. And I believe you said right while he was getting his bullpen in, you know, he was just not even hitting the plate in the bullpen.
He was barely hitting the plate in the bullpen and was even more wild in warm-up on the mound.
And then when he got on the mound, it was only a, you know, Scotch better. So honestly, the thing that makes me happier about this trade with Bass is to what Wes was just saying with you're not going to see as many innings out of Trevor Richards, and he is really scaring me. I don't know what's going on with him, or if it's finally just the, you know, something's worn off to the point where he's not, he was never
much bad. He's been much better since coming back from his injury, though.
Correct. I will give him that. But there was something wrong in that equation there for him for a little bit there. Mm-hmm. If he's finally figured that next piece out, great. But that's what putting the work does for you. But knowing that I don't have to worry about him or even the fact that I know they brought Gage back up for tonight's game, but that's just until the guys get here. You're not going to see innings out of him. Or who was the guy we walked? Oh, Banda. Or we let Banda. Him DFA'd him today. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, but you're not getting innings out of those guys. You're getting... you're getting a lot of guys that are in that ballpark of Simber Richards now eating up all those innings.
They're all the same guy, though.
Exactly.
Like, Bass is the same guy. Like, and Zach Pop is even not quite that guy yet. Like, it just, I don't know. It's just kind of a same thing. We got a bunch of like middle of the rotation guys that middle of the bullpen type of guys rather that just great, you know.
But to that point, we couldn't eat up innings the 3 weeks ago. That's how they're going to make up the aggregate, just get a bunch of the same guy. Great. But I do feel like we got with Pop, I'm going to put on the level with Simber because I feel like, you know, all outside the sidearm delivery, I feel like they're the same pitcher.
Well, but, to me, Simber's like the Randall Grichuk of pitching, right? He can carry a bullpen for a month and that's it. Right.
Yeah.
And
look how many innings he has this year. It's freaking nuts, you know. They've been using him, and I honestly felt like he was the guy that Montoya was leaning on the most. So maybe that's because he had to, but
there is a lot of that. Now Zach Pop comes with another 4 years of control, and that seemed to be a little bit of a selling point on him. Wes, you're already shaking your head because I know probably what you're gonna say about that. I'm not sure if I'm sold on that because relievers flake out within a matter of weeks, let alone months or years. Weeks can turn a reliever completely upside down from what, like, look at, I hate even mentioning the name Aroldis Chapman, but he was on top of the world not that long ago, and look how fast it just spiraled out of control for him, literally and figuratively.
He's starting to look a little bit better, and that's just the Yankees' luck that he'll finally find it again for the end of the season.
And that's the thing, is relievers are so volatile. Like, look at Aaron Loop. Aaron Loop was a serviceable reliever with the Blue Jays, and there's a lot of Blue Jays. There's a lot of Blue Jays fans that would disagree with that.
Especially when I saw him as a Bison. Oh my God, I never thought he'd make it to the majors again.
He played a role on this team, and he got some big outs for this team, and then he fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
He goes to Tampa, and now he's one of the best relievers in the league. Goes out, does the damn thing again in New York, goes and gets a massive contract in L.A., and if I remember off the top of my head, he's fallen off the face of the earth again. So...
Well, this is my... sorry to interject real quick, Chris. This is my biggest, like... gripe with this whole Bass and Pop trade in particular. I'm really starting to question like whether or not Atkins can like effectively evaluate bullpen arms. Like, look at the history of how our bullpen's been over the last several years. Last year, they went out early. They got Trevor Richards. They went out early. They got Adam Simber. And those two guys seem to like help right the ship a little bit. Mind you, healthy Romano went the longest way in that. But beyond Romano, like Jimmy Garcia's been hit and miss, right? Like overall, he's, I think, been decent.
Overall, he's been good. Just I made the Jason Frazier comment with him a few weeks ago.
But that's
it's like riding a roller coaster.
That's the thing. Like, there's zero consistency here, and the Kirby Yates fiasco of years past, and like you just look at how weak this bullpen's been, coupled with the fact that somehow this is the only team in baseball that hasn't been able to develop any minor league like relievers that throw high heat. Like, how is that a thing? You look at Baltimore, you look at like the Jays weren't good in 2017, 2018. Like, they didn't get high, or they did get high draft picks rather. Like, and we have zero guys in the minors that can throw heat besides Pearson. Like, unfortunately,
Zulatic can, but he's still another year or so away.
That's what I'm saying about this whole trade in general, right? Like, it just really, it just puts a lot of pressure on Romano and a lot of pressure on Jimmy Garcia now. And if one of those two guys go down again, like, I don't know.
So, do you think at all that this front office, and we don't know exactly what happened.
Of course not.
And we likely never will. Do you think that they're banking at all that Nate Pearson or Julia Merriweather might be back and be effective?
I believe the rumor with Pearson's timeline was the end of this month.
I think that might even be
generous. You'd hope he makes the play, and that is being generous, I believe. But they were talking about that actually on MLB Network earlier today, too. And the target date was, you know, basically the end of this month. Now, recall, if he doesn't get on this team before September 2nd, I believe, because of the, you know, when the rosters expand and stuff, he isn't playoff eligible. So it doesn't matter if he helps us get there or not. You're not going to have that, you know, smoke coming out of the bullpen in the playoffs because he didn't make the roster. He ends up being that 26th, 27th guy on the expanded roster, you know?
I don't know if that's a thing anymore with the waiver deadline.
Maybe.
Because that's,
that was something that was in the last that was CBA.
But yeah. Smoke's one thing, but can the guy throw strikes? Like, we've seen him throw strikes in, what, like three games in the majors that he's ever pitched? Other than that, he just hasn't been able to put it over the plate. Jordan Merriweather, exact same thing. Yeah, sure, the guy can throw hard. We've seen him pitch like three decent games in his entire life, and the rest is complete garbage. Like, are these guys that we actually, sure, they can throw hard, I guess, but do we actually,
like, wild card?
Yeah.
It's just like throwing a wild card and you're getting Zach Pop out of this and you're hoping for the best with him.
He's
been doing good this
guys.
Year. And Anthony Bass has been doing this good this year, but just moving him from Miami away from their comfort zone to here in Toronto, throw the wrench in their seasons too. Who knows? I think Bass will be okay because he at least knows most of the guys in this line. Schneider was in the locker room and whatnot in 2020 as well, so there's some continuity there. I think he'll be okay, but I don't know. It's crazy. And not
so
enough.
So we'll go on to the... Yeah. So we'll move on to the other side of this trade with the outgoing piece being Jordan Groshans. Jordan Groshans not having a good year this year. I believe he's in Buffalo. How do we feel about the team giving up somebody who, I don't want to say that Jordan Groshans was put on a high pedestal and kind of touted as being a giant piece of this team's future, but there were definitely conversations around this kid. And if you're even a casual fan, you know that you probably know his name somewhere in this organization. So how do we feel about Jordan Groshans going?
I don't think I'm going to miss it. I really don't. I've had the pleasure of watching him for his whole minor league career so far. And there's a lot of good mixed in with a lot of bad. And he's been this. So just to put you into perspective, the one thing he was doing at the beginning of this season, he was doing a good job of getting RBIs, and that's since dried up. So he's been 250 with 24 RBIs, and he's been in 67 games with the Buffalo Bisons.
And only two home runs, I think, this year?
One. Which is the part that of his game that they were hoping would develop and take him to the next level. That hasn't happened. So if you were able to trade whatever prospect capital you have left for those two bullpen arms, I'm okay with it.
Wes?
I think I'm in the same boat with Craig here. Like, you know, I just spent the last 20 minutes sort of shitting on this trade, but the reality is like, that's it, right? Like, I'm not upset we got rid of Groshans at all. I'm upset that they didn't do more than this. Like, I did not expect Groshans to get more than this. That's for sure. I think this is an adequate return for him. You know, this is a guy that has continually been, and Craig, you've seen him. You know the guy, the profile, all of these things much better. And just kind of hearing what you had to say was very eye-opening as well. Like, I think RBIs is probably one of the most deceiving stats in baseball too, right? Like, RBIs is just luck and randomness. I think at the end of the day, you hit while there's a guy on base. Great. Like, there's a skill to that, right? Like, there's absolutely a skill to that. But at the end of the day, there's so many random factors that play into that, whether it's the defensive lineups, who throws what, errors, how fast your base runners are, how great your third base coach is at pulling those guys around. Like, yeah. So I don't miss Groshans at all. You know, after all of these years of talking about what we could get for him, I think this was a good return. So, for him, I think. Yeah, it's fine.
I think a lot of people were surprised we got Dodger. The fact that he would go in a bigger package.
Mm-hmm. And that apparently that bigger package was not there. So you had to get something is what I'm thinking. That or to that point, being Blue Jays fans, we tend to overvalue a lot of our prospects. And I'll give you 100%. Case in point, the fact that Daniel Norris never went anywhere. And he's still living in a van as a millionaire, but that's besides the point. But this is why you have prospects, is you're hoping for that. And the Marlins are in a better position to be able to run with this idea of giving Jordan Groshans a chance to develop. And maybe that change of scenery is what wakes his bat up and lets him become that left side of the diamond piece that any major league team would want. He's got all the tools. They've never come in together in any form of consistency since he's gotten above, you know, single A, maybe a fraction of the time he was in double A. Like I said, I really wanted the kid to work out, but I think he's going to have eventually a major league season. It's just not going to be with the Blue Jays, and I was surprised it even took this long.
And that's just it. He has the physical attributes to be like a dominant, like hot corner guy. For whatever reason, it wasn't happening here. Best of luck to him, right? It's the same, Chris. I remember when you and I, like, we were both so high on Anthony Alford forever. Right. And seeing him go at, right. Like seeing, but he was another guy where it's just like, oh, this guy has all of the skills and all of the tools, but it just can't click. And so you hope he does well wherever he goes. But at the end of the day, it wasn't here. So good return for that, I guess, if that's the question. I think
he's going to find a way to click in Major League Baseball. It's just he's got to find that next piece to get consistent and actually, like you said, not just get lucky and be a clutch guy to get in RBIs. I do think he is a starter on a regular everyday team. It's just not, I don't see that happening in the next 2 years.
So we'll move on now to probably the lesser of the deals with the Los Angeles Dodgers around what, about 5 o'clock or so that this broke?
2 seconds before the deadline, we got both of them.
So Mitch White comes over from the Dodgers for along with Alex DeJesus for Nick Frasso and Moises Brito. We hardly knew you. So just looking at the profile here, Mitch White's 27 and has been up and down quite a bit. 22% strikeout rate, 3.58 ERA over his career. Decent ground ball rate. Doesn't walk a lot of guys, so I guess that's a good thing. Probably back of the rotation type of guy. Could be a swingman. Could be the new Ross Stripling. I'm going to say maybe is kind of the idea. Where are we at with Mitch White? Wes, we'll start with you.
I didn't mind this trade. I think it, like, if we're looking at what the Jays really needed at this trade deadline, a starter was definitely part of it, but I don't think it was a front-end starter because let's project to a playoff series. You're not throwing much more in terms of the starting rotation other than the top three guys in our rotation out there, right? Like, you're relying on Gausman, you're relying on Manoah, you're relying on Berríos, and maybe Kikuchi gets the odd start, and Stripling is sort of your long man out of the pen. Which is great. So I think picking up Mitch White, which by all accounts, again, obviously I'm not a huge Dodgers fan. I haven't seen him pitch. I don't know too much about him, but from what I've read and from what I've heard other analysts say and stuff, he's kind of like a Stripling 2.0, a 7.5 K per nine. Again, not a high swing and miss guy, but a guy that has decent velocity and that can go like a little deep. So I think that's kind of a perfect little addition. It's interesting, like you said, like with Frasso and Brito, like, see you later, we never knew you kind of thing. But digging into these guys' numbers, like, these are both swing and miss guys, ironically, which I think is the interesting part. Like, obviously, they're a little lower, but like,
yeah, Frasso being the higher of the two now remember, the double A teams flipped around, so single A Dunedin is actually the lower level team now. So,
well, Frasso had 57 strikeouts and 36 innings. Like, you know, that's swing and miss, even at the lower levels. And I know at that level, too, like, pitching is significantly better than hitting. But still, I think it's just it's interesting to me that they traded swing and miss for another Ross Stripling type of guy when they needed swing and miss, especially from the bullpen. But either way, I think it's a fine trade. But I don't think it really moves the needle on whether this team is playoff bound or not.
And I know I honestly, out of this trade, as much as I do like the idea of what Mitch White has to offer, I do think he's got some stuff that's going to develop into a really nice spot for the Blue Jays. You know, this is a guy that was a second round pick for the Dodgers, it says, back in the day. It was 2016 out of college ball, so that's why he's 27 and almost 28 right now. So he's coming into his prime years of baseball, and maybe that's when the Blue Jays capitalize him, is we'll have him under control. But we're so far past, as Blue Jays fans, of this years of control bullshit. So it's a good arm, it's a good piece, but that's the point. It's another piece. So great. Now you got three bullpen guys that you're going to be, you know, putting in the bullpen to, you know, eat up some of these innings that we've been struggling with. And maybe this is the guy that becomes the fifth starter, would be the other catch. Because now you also, in the midst of this, trade Max Castillo, who I was really just starting to love watching him play at the major league level.
Yeah.
He was one of those guys in the minors that I've been watching, and I didn't know when he was going to finally just click. He found that this year in Double A. Steamrolled in the Triple A, and then he's been doing nothing but perform at the major league level. So I feel like you traded for the same guy that you had already a little bit. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same trade, but yeah. Go ahead.
No. If Mitch White is kind of that longer man out of the bullpen, do you feel, just the same question as with Simber before.
Yeah.
Do you like Mitch White better, or do you like Trent Thornton?
Right now I'm leaning on White, because at least he's the new guy in the thing. And honestly, right now, with how much fun they've been having in the bullpen, I think you got to find a way to have both of them. Because that one way or the other, I don't want Trent Thornton starting games. Even if they do, for some ungodly reason, try him to stretch out, not going to happen. I'd rather put White out there, because he's got the higher velocity, at least to hopefully get outs. Maybe he figures out piece, which is the strikeouts.
Could be. Wes, I'll go to you for this then. If you're taking somebody out of our five-man rotation right now to slip in Mitch White, who is it?
I mean, unfortunately, it's Stripling, who's been an absolute stud all year. Like,
Wrong.
Listen, man.
Hang on. Look, I was watching. No. You shut up for a minute.
Okay.
I was watching this because I was very interested in it. With every out, Ross Stripling's ERA went down by 0.01 each out. He was under 3 at one point.
I've seen 5 Ross Stripling starts this season, and they've all been incredible. Don't get me wrong. I love Ross Stripling. I think he's a phenomenal pitcher. I think he, though, provides much more value coming out of the bullpen in a shitty situation when whatever starter has bases loaded, has been hit around, and they need some quick outs. I think that the veteran leadership that Ross Stripling brings is far more valuable than Yusei Kikuchi coming out of the bullpen and throwing up bombs in the first inning as he does. Like, that's why you can't, Kikuchi's not a bullpen arm. He's only there at this point. I think, again, talk about Ross Atkins' ability to evaluate pitching talent. Let's sign this guy to a 3-year
pitcher?
Doesn't matter. I like Ross Atkins too. Like, I don't want to make this whole thing coming on your show just me crapping on Ross Atkins, but
a lot of people are. Atkins. Don't worry.
Yeah, but you can't. Like
you're not on Twitter, and you're not on Twitter, and it's just a dumpster fire of Atkins today. So it's all right.
You're stuck
with hilarious because he's the reason this team's even where we're at. To build this thing together, but don't worry about that. That's easily forgotten.
Yeah, but any one of the three of us bozos could assign George Springer for a bunch of money. Like any one of the
and
three,
that's
of
true,
right? Like Yeah, we don't need to get into the semantics of that. But I think Kikuchi's stuck where he is the fifth guy. You milk it for whatever it is. If you get an inning or two out of him, great. If you get six innings of like eight strikeout balls somehow, fantastic. But I think that's all that it is, because I don't want to see that guy coming out of the bullpen, especially with runners on, especially in sticky situations. Like Stripling, I'm far more confident with that, unfortunately.
Yeah. Did this management team seem we're shitting on their drafting ability for pitching? Did they draft Manoa? Or was that leftover?
Yes.
Yeah, they,
I believe they had to have, right?
Yeah, they did.
Only a few years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but to that point, they found a way to evaluate positional talent. You know, they found Santiago Espinal for a freaking bag of balls. Just saying.
A World Series MVP.
For that year only.
Yeah.
That's each team got what they wanted out of that. Steve Pierce going to Boston. So, but I honestly, out of this Mitch White trade that we were just talking about, have you guys looked at this Alex DeJesus that we also got in the trade? Is like, I'm gonna say the throw-in guy.
Like, he's like the 20th. He's like 20th prospect in the Dodgers.
Yeah, but he's only 20 years old, and he's batting 272 with 11 home runs and 48 runs driven in. So. It's not a slouch for another middle infield guy that we have, you know, because that's what we hoard, middle infielders, mm-hmm. super athletic guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
he's only in, oh, he's in the higher level of A, so you're not going to see him for a while. But I thought he touched double A, but I was wrong. But either way, he's got some good tools here that, like I said, wasn't a bad throw-in for what we gave up. Like I said, West said we gave up a couple of high-velocity guys, but you got a guy that could be the fifth guy in our rotation or the innings eater in our bullpen. And you got a guy for our future that isn't going to be a slouch, I don't think. This could be another Santiago Espinal level guy you snuck into a trade.
Which wouldn't be a horrible thing.
And he's getting for a lot more power than when we traded for Santiago Espinal, just saying.
So let's move right on, because I don't think we need to go too much further into that one. Let's go into
kind
the
shit on everything.
Right at 6 o'clock, Whit Merrifield to the Blue Jays for Samad Taylor and Max Castillo. Whit Merrifield having by far his worst year of his career. A little bit puzzling as well. That's right. Everybody seemed to be on the idea that if the Blue Jays were going to acquire any kind of position player, it was going to be for a left-handed bat. Regardless, we have Whit Merrifield. He still has some tools, I guess, to help. If he's allowed to cross the border, that's the next kind of
semantics
pitch in all this. But Whit Merrifield this year, he's got 92 hits, 6 home runs, hitting .240. 42 RBI, 15 stolen bases still. I guess that's kind of the part that intrigued me with Whit Merrifield, is he still can run a little bit. And what have we seen since John Schneider has taken over this team? It's that this team is not going to be afraid to run or use the hit and run to try and muster up a little bit more on offense. Where are you on Whit Merrifield, Weston Grove?
I would love for you to ask me tomorrow, because tonight I'm pretty heated about it. I think it was just such a strange addition. Sure, he's a two-time All-Star, like in years past. Guess who was an All-Star this year? Santiago Espinal, right? Like, if you look at the position players who've outperformed their expectations this year, the list pretty much begins and ends with Santiago Espinal.
Yeah.
And maybe actually Kevin Biggio, who's got like a ridiculously decent on base percentage all of a sudden. Like, it was such a weird thing, because it's like we get another one of those guys who's like just a little bit worse at what each of them do really well. But I guess he's just more of a medium guy all around. And there is defensive versatility. I think you're right, Chris. Like, the guy can run. I mean, he's 33, so he's a hammy away from just like being out for 3 months. But he can play a little bit of outfield. He's not going to like spell Springer in center field, though. Like,
that's the rumor I've been actually hearing.
Really?
Yeah, he's got 79 career starts with the Royals in center field.
It like above average defensive center fielder?
The way I see it, the guy's super athletic, so I'm just having a strange feeling that I wonder how much of this trade was built out of the fact that Springer isn't 100%. And they had to do something because they don't want to just truck Ramil Tapia or Brandon Lee Zimmer out there every day.
Merrifield's let off as well, has he not?
Yes.
Yeah.
He was doing that for, honestly, the better parts of his careers.
And he's a good contact hitter. Like, again, this is why if you ask me about this trade tomorrow, I might feel a bit better than I do today. Because today it's just underwhelming. Like, the whole situation today was underwhelming. And Whit Merrifield, of course, is a big name. Like, he's more of a household name than any of these other guys on this list. But, like, he's still, like, not, you know, sure he can hit the ball. He's got good bat-to-ball skills, good contact skills. He's fast. He can leg out doubles. You know, he led the league in doubles, I think it was as soon as 2 years ago.
Actually led the league in hits a couple of times, too, when I'm looking at here, too, in 2018 and 2019. And that was only a few years ago.
But again, his
2021
career,
last year was his doubles one that you were mentioning.
A career OPS of 750, right? Like, this isn't a guy that's, like, sure, he's got some good tools and sure he's versatile, but he just is kind of like another Santiago Espinal, another kind of Kevin Biggio that can play a lot of positions, probably like slightly above average defense, has a bit of speed, some extra tools, but at the end of the day, this wasn't really a need for this team. And I know the Springer thing, as Craig, you just mentioned, was certainly something that just popped up. But at the end of the day, I just don't feel like this was really the impact thing that the Jays needed to, like, because again, if we look at what really this is about too, like, sure, it's about on-field stuff, but it's also about clubhouse stuff. These guys just went on a big run, right? Like, they, mind you, they beat up on some bad teams and they got a brand new manager for it. But, like, again, there's some, like, there's a lot of momentum happening here, and this just kind of feels like it sucked a bit of the momentum out of everything, especially because we don't even know if Whit Merrifield will play in Toronto. Like, I just got the notification on my phone saying Ross Atkins is going to leave it up to him and his family to make that decision. Like, so there's not even, like, that doesn't sound confident.
I think it says enough, but it doesn't say that we're getting anything out of it.
No, it doesn't sound confident that he'll even play. Like, mind you, like, it happens at a perfect time because the Jays are on the road for the next 2 weeks. So if he does get vaxxed now, theoretically, he would be able to be back in Toronto, hopefully by the time that Baltimore series rolls around. But
maybe he misses a game or two instead of a week.
Yeah.
You know. But the other thing is, remember, he's not cheap for the next 2 years either, guys.
No, he's under contract for next year. Yeah, he's under contract for next year and
the year following.
And the year after with a it's a mutual option.
You know what? I not going to get picked up for $18 million.
Exactly. There'll be some kind of buyout. Let's go this way then. We'll kind of tie into what Wes started off there. Your overall feel: there were four players coming over to the Blue Jays. Craig, do you also need to wait until tomorrow to really gauge what's going on here, or are you good and pissed off and want to bang the drum?
No, sir. I don't like it. I'm going to go full on like Ren and Stimpy with that comment on the horse. But, oh my God, if that's the best thing we got on this trade deadline, it just screams like this team, whatever that piece was they weren't willing to part with, had to have been on the major league roster, too critical to the clubhouse, something along those lines. Otherwise, this was just screaming to me, they couldn't pull the trigger on whatever that last key item was. Could not close the deal is where I'm currently sitting. And I think that Whit Merrifield embodies that whole thing. This is the best we could do. And we don't really have a place to put him, really, figuratively. Because to Wes's point, right now, if it came down to putting either him or Biggio in the lineup, Biggio's a lefty. Merrifield can have some legs. at least I'm getting something out of that equation where, unfortunately, right now, if I'm in a pinch run in the latter part of the game, I'm sorry to say that Bradley Zimmer is one of the fastest fucking guys in baseball. I'm using him. I'm not putting Whit Merrifield in. So unless you're getting him so Springer can DH and hopefully you get his elbow right while he's doing that kind of thing, there's got to be something there, because I'm sorry to say, guys, at the end of the day, if they wanted to put Springer at DH, yes, Tapia's been doing very well this year, but does he continue to do that? You're not going to move Teoscar back over center field. We've seen that story. I've always thought that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. might take that step in the outfield because he seems to have the right coverage, but watching him track balls in left field would just be like, in center field. So they needed somebody that was familiar enough, and I don't think they found that guy that they were trying to find on the trade market, which, like I mentioned a little bit ago, I feel like the Philadelphia Phillies got every damn guy I wanted to get. We wanted a pitcher. They got Thor. We could have used an extra good outfielder to be a DH / center fielder. They got Brandon Marsh from the Angels, too. And then they threw in David Robertson, and they got him back. He gets to have his second tenure with the Philadelphia Phillies. Those three guys I felt like the Phillies didn't give up the farm for, and I felt the Blue Jays could have matched that all day. That's my personal gripe.
Wes, to accommodate Whit Merrifield, who comes off of this roster?
Zach Another Collins.
Is it going to be Collins, though? Because his team clearly wants to run Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk in the same lineup.
They have no choice.
Are they able to, though?
Yeah.
They have no
if
choice.
If you end up having a DH Springer, you can't.
But this is the this is the place they've put themselves in, right? Like, this is the situation they built for themselves. And it's unfortunate that Alejandro Kirk can't play anything other than catching, because Danny Jansen's a fine catcher. And, like, you know, your backup catcher on your team is the easiest roster spot to fill.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the pickle that they're in. But I think at the end of the day, like, my biggest takeaways from this whole thing is, A, Rockins or Ross Atkins, sorry.
Rockins.
Yeah.
Not so Rockins.
Ability to evaluate, like, pitching talent. That's the biggest question. I think it's also pretty, it also exposes how weak the Jays farm system is. And Craig, you could talk to this probably better than I could, but I was surprised that, like, you look at how the Yankees did and actually what they gave up. Like, they got Frankie Montas. They got literally all the players that the Jays could have used. Harrison Bader, Trevino, Benintendi, Scott Efris. Like, they literally got the trade deadline that the Jays needed to become, like, in the same, like, vein as the Yankees, right? But they did it. So now they're even that much better. And so I was surprised, actually, that, you know, maybe it was just the Jays weren't willing to deal Gabby Moreno. Maybe it's they weren't willing to deal some of these higher-end prospects, but I mean, we saw Groshans go for not that much, and he's a guy that's a bit higher in their system. And then the last thing for me is just Atkins keeps telling us, like, you know, next year's the window. Next year's the window. Like, we're building. We've got a good foundation. We've got this, that, and the other. It's like Springer's getting old, man. Like, that guy's not going to be good in 2 to 3 years. Vladdy and Bo are just one more year away from free agency, from arbitration, all these things that are, and those guys, they haven't
it
signed at this point.
Always be next year. Otherwise you're a Buffalo Bills fan like me.
Oh my God. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan as well, man. And I've just lived through this at other sports, and it just is always about, hey, we have the foundation, but it's like, sure. So let's support that foundation with some knockout punches, right? Like, this is baseball. Like, sure, it's a game of individual achievement, but we need the all-stars on the team to do it. And the guys that have outperformed what they are, like I said, Espinal, Kevin Biggio, I think Jordan Romano has been incredible. Like, he's faltered, don't get me wrong, but overall, given how, I think, young he is in this league, to have, you know, one of the most save records in baseball right now is pretty incredible. That guy's coming into
rule 5 2 years.
Yeah. Nothing but high pressure situations, right? Like, there's something to say for that. I don't know. I just, I at the back of my mind, I just really don't think this team's going to sign Vladdy or Bo long term. I don't know if they can. I don't know whatever's holding it up at this point. Like, so it's just the whole situation to me is like, let's win now. If it's this year or next year, let's do it. You know, that's why that year and a half of Juan Soto was so enticing as a Jays fan. Obviously, it was never happening. Like, those things don't happen to us.
Yeah, but if you look at the package,
right.
I didn't see anything that was there that the Blue Jays couldn't have done with their prospects. Because it was
that was a massive haul.
Oh, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm just saying I'm sure we could have found the equivalent of those guys. It would have hurt.
Ooh,
but
you would have had to have given up a Kirk or a Bo in that deal.
That's fine. You get Josh Bell for that. Juan Soto.
You could have lived without one of them. And honestly, I was wondering how much the Wilson Contreras situation with the Cubs actually was the same problem that the Blue Jays had with most of their stuff. You know, there was not a baseball writer in the business that thought Wilson Contreras was going to stay a Cub. Mm-hmm. And guess where he is today?
Mm-hmm.
Suiting up. He said his fucking goodbyes and everything.
Yeah. Didn't have to stay with the Cubs, too. Like, he didn't go either.
Yep, no, he didn't go anywhere either. But
weird.
I think it was Heyman himself during while I was watching MLB Network this afternoon after I got home from work, that he said that Contreras was his sure pick for going to be traded. Like, if he had to bet like a bajillion dollars on a guy that would get traded, it was going to be Wilson Contreras.
Well, everybody thought he was going to Houston.
Yeah, but to that point.
And then they went out to get Vasquez.
And they got nothing. And outside of that, nobody was like shopping for catchers. And that's what the Blue Jays' abundance is.
Mm-hmm.
Young prospects in, you know, talent in the catching position between Kirk Jansen and Gabriel Moreno. You know, none of them, I wonder how much of it was the fact that they couldn't get rid of those guys as a main piece didn't translate to them getting to somebody at the end of the day because the market wasn't there for catchers. Like the brains in MLB, you know, analysis thought.
Craig, is this
I thought that was telling.
Craig, is this team better today than they were yesterday?
I will give you yes, but it's not for the right reasons. And it's not completely around the idea that this team got trade deadline better. We have been
Wes
better at managing, better at aggressiveness, and then we got a few depth pieces.
Wes, you're Ross Atkins, and you have to walk into the Blue Jays clubhouse. How do you sell this to your players?
I get John Schneider to do an opening set for me. Are you kidding me? Like, there's no other way around it. Like, thank God he has John Schneider there, because that guy, A, is, like, super funny, really personable, knows these kids. They all respect him. They all like him. I don't know how else you do it besides just getting Schneider to hit home runs for you. Like, this reminds me of not quite the same way, because in 2015, 2014, when Anthopoulos didn't kind of do those things at the trade deadline, 2014, Joey Bats and all of those other guys kind of came out and gave him some gripe. Like, the Jays don't have those types of aggressive, like very like angry sort of vocal veteran players right now. Like, Chapman's not going to do that. You know,
I think Bo would.
Springer's not. Bo might
but he's
be going
a veteran,
one.
But
Bo would do it because Bo basically came out after Montoya was fired and was like, "Fucking good."
But again,
about time.
But Bo like loves Schneider. Like those. Like that's pretty. Like that's such a father son relationship, if anything, right? Like
it's so
and so it's which is the only reason why I didn't want to see Bo leave in like a Soto deal or anything, just because I love that relationship. But regardless, I think. I don't know. I don't know how Atkins really like the thing I said to Craig before we started recording here was like this whole Jays team right now is like a Jenga tower, right? And the tower is only going to be as stable as Bo and Vladdy and Springer make it, right? As Gausman and Manoah make it, right? But you have Springer hurt, right? Manoah takes a hard line drive off his throwing elbow. Gausman takes a weird line drive off his ankle. Like, they're one thing away from this whole tower falling over, and it does not take much. And did they get the depth? Not really. You know,
Wes, why do you gotta be that that one jackass kid that's sitting there tapping on the fucking blocks in the Jenga tower.
That's it. That's all that this loose. Team is right now. And but you look at the Yankees fortified their foundation, you know, like in such a solid way that they're five starters deep, six starters deep. Their bullpen got so much stronger, even though they lost King. They traded away Jordan Montgomery because they didn't need him. Are you kidding me? Jordan Montgomery's been a stud this year.
Not to mention, they were in on Pablo Lopez, apparently, with the Blue Jays until the Marlins have said, no, we're going to keep him.
Yeah.
So they were looking to – I honestly wonder how much the Yankees were hoping to flip Jordan Montgomery and then get Pablo Lopez back there in the last minute and how threatening that would have been, because that was what they were talking on the MLB Network for like five freaking minutes left. What did they do? They got – why are they going after Lopez? They already have five solid pitchers. You imagine if they got that guy and then kept Montgomery somehow? Freaking nuts.
And Craig, I appreciate you sharing your space and letting me on your show. And I hope that everybody in the land here just doesn't think I'm just coming on here to shit on this team, because I love the Blue Jays, right? Like, obviously, I invest a lot of my time, energy, and money into this team. I go to a lot of games. I live downtown Toronto. I get the ability to see them a lot and see them play a lot. And I think this is one of the funnest teams in all of professional sports to follow. I think Vladdy is probably arguably one of the most fun professional athletes to follow. The guy's in a great mood all the time. He's incredible at what he does. He brings everybody up around him, both like mentally, emotionally, like athletically. I think Bo Bichette's this like incredibly hard worker that has one of the deadliest swings I think I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't know how sustainable that is long term, but either way, the kid's in his early 20s and he can just like swing. And like, I've never seen anybody swing with their whole body so much harder. I think George Springer at this particular point in his life is the perfect person to sort of mentor these young guys, right? I think Espinal is a really fun defensive player to see. Like, Manoa has just this incredible attitude and this incredible like charisma about him, you know. All of these things like just create this incredible confluence of this really, really fun team to follow. And it's just too bad that management didn't really just put it over the top today. And I think for me, that's like, again, you talk to me about the Blue Jays any day of the week, I'll have nothing but good things to say. Today's the one day that I probably could find some bad things to say, and you guys found them. But that's the only reason why. I think this is a really fun team. It's just too bad that, because I don't think it's going to last for like forever. I think this team is going to be this team for maybe this year, next year. We're lucky the year after Teo's leaving. You know, all of these pieces start to fall after next year, and Lourdes' time is up, and it just, a lot of the characters that make this team fun start to leave, and then it becomes a business, and we lose that personality.
Yeah, this thing was a fire, and it was just a little bit of kerosene away from being a monster fireball.
Yeah. I think with that, we can go into Picks to Click. That's a good place to kind of wrap up that part of the discussion. We can go into that and then finish it off. So what do we got, Craig?
So last week, I had Lourdes, you had Kirk, Adam had George Springer, and then Brendan had Teoscar Hernandez. And honestly, out of the four of those, I don't know who I pick.
I would say probably either Lourdes or Teoscar.
I would think that I'm in that ballpark too there, that Springer was out.
Teoscar had that three-run home run to win it on Sunday. So
then you would win, but Brendan would win the tiebreaker on that, because we were 4-1, correct?
Yes.
So I was going to be nice and let West, you know, be that guy, tie break it, but go from there. So on that note, then Brendan adds one to his fucking win column again and takes the lead.
We'll stop that.
So yeah, we'll hopefully get that off. But so to that point, do we want to let West pick Adam and?
We'll let Wes pick somebody for Adam and pick somebody for Brendan.
So what this game is, we play every week, Wes, is we just pick who's going to be the best player in Blue Jays baseball for the next, you know, games until we record again next Tuesday. I haven't looked at the schedule to see what we have, obviously, outside the Tampa games here.
Yeah, Tampa, and then...
Is Vladdy immune to this game? Like,
not anymore.
No, he used to be.
Yeah, we used to call him the cheat code, and then he, you know, became reality this year.
I mean, guy has an OPS approaching 900 all of a sudden again. Like, he's getting close.
I didn't say he was bad. But you can't pick him for Brendan, because that'd be mean after he just won a week.
All right, I'm going to...
So we got Tampa, Minnesota over the weekend, and then a game in Baltimore.
So it's seven games, then? We got all straight?
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm gonna go back to the well. I'm going to take... Teoscar Hernandez. He's one of my favorite Blue Jays right now for a lot of reasons. I think he's a lot of fun to watch. The guy's got really cool energy, and the guy can just mash the ball.
Gotcha. So I'll put him in for Brendan, and because it's a West pick, not a Brendan pick, I'll let him pick perfect. 2 weeks in a row. And then Chris, I'll let you go next then. And then I'll let him pick the other pick here.
I'll ride the hot streak, and I'll go with Matt Chapman.
The Chapman. All right, so now you're picking for Mr. Corsair, Wes.
I'm going to go with Lourdes. Lourdes, just an absolute blast to watch again. Super there athletic guy. On base, baby.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm changing mine.
Oh, there it is.
Whit Merrifield.
What are you doing?
Whit Merrifield.
Fantastic. Yeah, I guess he's going to hope that he gets to play tomorrow. I hear the rumor is he's traveling already. So,
in their way, so you know he can play.
Yeah, there it is. You know what? I haven't seen anybody pick him, and I think he's going to freaking put Merrifield back in his place. I'm going to go with Santiago Espinal.
Fantastic.
Could be. Cool.
Dare you come into my house. My job. So, yeah, there you go. And I'm not going to worry about tiebreakers this week because we got West picks.
Yes.
So, good deals.
Cool. All right. I think that's where we can wrap up for things tonight. We appreciate each and every one of you for listening. We especially appreciate Wes for coming on. Wes, really quick, I know you have a podcast separate from anything to do with baseball, but if you want to give yourself a shameless plug, go ahead.
Shameless self-promotion plug at the end of every guest spot.
No, I appreciate it, especially for all of those that heard me say ass Rotkins today. But in real life, I'm a music therapist. I'm a social worker. I run a podcast all about music, how it interacts with your brain neurologically. I interview a lot of cool musicians as well, professional touring musicians, a lot of folks that do great work in the community as well within the context of music. So check it out. It's called Music with Matt. You can search it on any of the podcast streaming platforms. It's a lot of fun. Appreciate you giving me the space for that.
Yeah,
we had to have the Jays Jam reunion tonight.
Yeah, that's Well, and as a little tidbit, maybe watch for that sooner than later as well.
Ooh,
so,
sneaky.
And again, we'll thank Stadium Scene and Jays Journal for everything that they do for us as well. We'll end this as we always do with the two claps and a Ric Flair. One, two, three. Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.